Do that, if they can hear.
What is it, star what?
Star 6.
Star 6, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll call to order the Wednesday, August 4th meeting of the Town of Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission. Before we get started, I've been asked to double check our phones, so I know there's somebody online right now. If you could punch in star 6 and let us know that you can hear us. If there's anybody online or on the phone right now. Okay.
They might be shy.
They might be shy. how do you want to proceed? Do you want to?
You can start.
Okay, we can start. Okay, very good. All right, so if there is anybody on the phone and they want to jump in, again, it's star 6 to unmute, and then we can hear you. So first item on the agenda is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, oh, go ahead. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is the adoption of the minutes. Just take a second or two, look at the minutes from last meeting.
I do have just a couple of things.
I got July, June meeting.
We didn't have a July meeting.
For HPC.
We didn't have a July HPC meeting, if I remember right.
No.
That's correct.
Yeah,
so June. Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Back to the minutes then.
Matt, back to the minutes.
The first thing is just this is just a I don't know what to call it, but it's so probably insignificant, but I think it might be that the date of the minutes that we approved at the last meeting were from May 5th, not from April 7th.
I'll look at it and I'll get it changed.
Yeah, because we met in June and we had a May 5th meeting and we approved those minutes
okay,
at that.
Probably
and
did.
I don't know if it's important to record it that way, but.
Yeah, no worries. We'll get it changed.
It's those, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's thing. And then I have a question. Commissioner Whitley is here at all the meetings and with everybody present. He's never mentioned, and I didn't know if he should be.
We never asked before.
I know, but
would
I didn't.
Like to be mentioned?
But I think it's historically, though, when people look back to see that there was a town council member at every one of our meetings, I don't know.
It's in the minutes, though, isn't it? Was present?
No.
No, it's not.
It's not.
That's
no,
what I'm
that's
saying.
Not. That's, it used
not,
to be.
Maybe just add it in the minutes in. And John Batson was
I think
here
the, it used to be there.
Yeah. If I remember, I think we did have an item where it would say liaison member, absent or present. So just add another thing.
Okay.
You know, the staff present, just put, you know, liaison, council liaison member, and then have that present or so. Any other changes? any other changes to the minutes? Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes with the revisions recommended?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we'll get Jim on this one for a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Public comments. Again, if there is anybody, this is just for general public comments. We do have agenda items that will open up for public comments related to specific agenda items. But if anybody has kind of general public comments, star 6 if you're online. Okay, hearing none, I will close public comments. Old business. 5.1 is discussion, continued discussion of design standards. You know, we have spent a lot of time on design standards. Obviously, we don't have a whole bunch of people applying for COAs right now. John, has anybody even asked about a COA or anything?
One person sent an email and said they were approved.
Okay. Does anybody want to recommend changes to our design standards at the present time?
I don't recall why this is still on the agenda.
Well, we were continuously tweaking, you know. I mean, this something we kind of jumped into, and we've been tweaking and tweaking and tweaking. I think that Mr. Eldridge has made some changes that we approved in our last meeting, for the design standards. And
there was not any indication that anything else needed to be done.
No, that's correct. So, I think at this point, it's probably good to continue to have it on the agenda, but we could certainly table the item if that's okay. Is there a motion to table?
Yep.
Yes. Make a motion
okay.
to table.
And motion second. And second. All in favor to table agenda item number 5.1?
Aye.
Okay. By the way, I did have a question. Tabling versus continuation. What's the difference on that?
My understanding of those terms, I only use continuation when a meeting is continued. Tabling is when you move the item to a later time.
Okay. All right. All right, agenda item 5.2, discussion of the COA application process and forms. Again, this has me as kind of lead on it, but it's kind of the same issue. We had talked originally about our application. There was kind of an application put together, I believe, by John, right? Did you put together the original application for this? Or? I'm sorry, Mr. Eldridge.
Can you give me 1 second? It's not working.
What application? While she's doing that, if you all want to look at the instructions and the application in the package.
Joseph, do you know if in the near future we're going to be able to just have these meetings in person and not have to be doing the call-in because everything's open to the public now?
I think we are going to try to move away from that, but I got a feeling in a month or two we're going to be shut back down or some form of something.
I think it'll come up at the next council's emergency meeting, which is 5 or 5:30 on the 16th. We've been looking at some issues concerning that.
Okay. Are we?
You've been muted. To unmute yourself, press *6. You are no longer muted.
Okay.
Chairman, I'll take that. Pursuant to, I guess, the last meeting, I think Ms. Zielinski actually came forward with an original draft, and I offered to look into it. And having looked into it, I drafted these instructions, and I also drafted the application. These things are not really my bailiwick, so please feel free to comment and instruct as you see fit. But I think it captures most of what we need. I've really tried to keep it simple. But it speaks for itself, so I'll be glad to listen or answer any questions that you might have.
No, I think this is good when I looked at it. I'm thinking back 2 months ago when we had our meeting. We did have a discussion about the application fees, and I noticed that you've left that blank here.
And I'm not clear on that.
Exactly.
You may have made a decision, and I've actually asked Beth about it, but I just can't keep that straight in my mind.
If we had a discussion, remember there was some debate about it, and I remember I had looked up a couple from different towns, and I bet Beth had looked up some different towns, and they're kind of all over the place. So if I remember right, I don't think we had decided upon an application fee.
Beth can probably answer that question.
No,
yeah.
We had, okay.
And never made a motion, there was a lot of discussion.
Yeah, we had a lot of discussion, but never made a motion.
One
so.
Other comment I'd like to make before you go back to the fees, you'll see hyperlinks in the instructions. Again, I don't know how to do that, and we're not ready to put it on the web yet. I do want the hyperlinks to take people to what's referenced. That should be something we can do.
Right. Okay.
Excuse me, Craig?
Yes.
In the minutes we just approved, we made a motion that we have a $25 fee. It was seconded and we voted on unanimous.
Okay.
That's like the minor work.
That would not.
Okay, well, that's one of the two numbers that needs to be filled out on the page.
And okay. I think it would actually be a recommendation that council would act on.
Okay, so, you know, I think it's. Do we want to talk about the fee for a major work then? If we decided $25 last time, I think the major work was the issue that we...
Right. I think $25 because things like a fence or a landscape permit, that's $25. So for minor work, we agreed that $25 would be reasonable for that application fee. But then when we were talking about major work, I believe it was you, Tony, who had said that whatever... the Board of Adjustment, if somebody was coming in for a variance, and that fee is, I think, what, $375, which seems inordinate to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that that's what we want to do.
I think part of the discussion around that was the amount of time that, you know, the town is involved with the process.
And the process for the major... work is not as in depth, I think, as a variance with the Board of Adjustment because we don't have to get a court recorder.
With all due respect, I think we're mixing up some things.
Yeah.
Your last reference to a court reporter is, I believe, is the town's practice for quasi-judicial hearings in case they are, what's the right word, petition for judicial review. This town tends to hire a court reporter for a transcript, and I see no reason why they wouldn't continue that practice for HPC's quasi-judicials, but that's up to staff. They'll make that decision.
No, Mandy, I talked about continuing.
Okay. So staff indicates that they're going to continue that practice. In terms of being more or less comprehensive, a more or less comprehensive hearing, I don't think you can make that assumption. There could be some COA applications that raise some very detailed or thorny issues, just as there could be variance applications which appear very simple on their face. I think the fee, when I was looking at different jurisdictions, $375 in comparison did not seem excessive. Do keep in mind that staff needs to review and prepare a report. There's also a recommended pre-application, actually I think it's required under the regs, pre-application conference between the building inspector and the applicant. The applicant has to bring in a lot of material. The building inspector will review that for sufficiency. A summary has to be prepared for the hearing. And then, of course, the hearing. And then thereafter, reducing the decision to a writing, which I've done a number of those, that takes a few hours. I'm not sure that the 375 is excessive, but it's your all's decision to decide what to recommend.
I just felt like since it was a very similar process to the Board of Adjustments, that the fee would be similar.
Looking back through the minutes, we did have this discussion. I remember I actually had checked some, I forget exactly which towns, at least three or four, and I found between $20 and $50. You know, and then we remember Beth, I think it was, we were trying to get on the city of Wilmington's, and we couldn't find it to see what they were doing too. So, I mean, I personally think $375 is not in the original idea of trying to keep this as simple as possible to our B1 owners. I think it's too high.
The process is basically a quasi-judicial hearing. So it's not a simple process when you get to this level. The minor work is a simple process, and it's $25. So I think that we probably should follow the guidance, you know, from John, and just kind of mimic what we're doing with Board of Adjustments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to keep it net sum zero, I would think, for the process. So the town doesn't incur, and what does the court reporter cost for?
It costs a pretty penny.
Yeah, that's on favor.
I can tell you that $375 does not cover the cost of the court reporter.
So we're going in the hole on every one of these then?
Court reporter,
of course.
Yeah.
$800 to $1,200.
That's an hourly cost, but usually it seems to me it's around $800, so that's what we had.
I'm looking right now, and Greensboro COA is $75 for major.
Well, my thought goes and has gone from the time I became involved in this is the people who happen to live in what has now been determined to be the historic preservation district, like those little houses like at the corner of 3rd and L, I think, maybe, on 3rd Avenue North. And now if they want to, I don't know, you know, major work, you know, if they want to re-side, then they have to pay this fee, $375, and they didn't even ask to be put into this position. You know, that's where my thought always goes to. If somebody's moving in and they're aware of a high fee, if they want to make changes once they're here, that's okay, but I
found one that supports the hire. The county of Mecklenburg, what they do is they have a COA schedule based on the project cost. So, and I'm reading right now from their COA process. $0 to $100,000 is $200 for a review fee. $100,000 to $200,000 is $300. $200,000 to $500,000 project cost is $500. And if you get over $1 million, it's $1,000. So, I mean, that supports a higher level, too. So I think it's all over the place, actually.
I think that's a fair assessment.
So, can I ask our council liaison, who is actually present, how do you think the council will feel about this? I mean, that really is, because it has to be approved by them.
Well, I think they're going to go with the 375, if not higher, because I know a couple of them, if we have to bring people in, they're not going to want to take a loss on it. But I could be wrong. I think it should be 375 at a minimum, because I agree with Tony. It's going to be just like something to work with us.
Okay, is there any further discussion? I mean, I think we should have a motion about the fee, and then we can come back and look at the general application.
But, and the fee can be, I mean, looked at every year, right? I mean, this is not, if you wanted, sure. If you find out that it's becoming, like you said, all of a sudden it's like costing $2,000 to do these every time.
It would be part of the budget process. That's when the town council sets its fees.
Okay. So we...
And it can always be amended in the course of the year.
Well, the bulk of the cost would be in the building permits they'd have to secure after the 375. So it's not like it's...
Right.
you know, the building permits right. are going to be a lot more expensive, depending on what they're doing.
I'm willing to make a motion.
Okay. Since you want to make a motion, since you kind of came up with the fee?
I will make a motion that we have the fee set for major work at $375.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And I'll say nay also.
That's just a recommendation.
It's just a recommendation, yeah, but it passes 3-2. Okay. All right. Is there further discussion on the application? Application instructions, I'm sorry. The application instructions.
I think it was mentioned about putting the fee cost once it's approved. Other than that, I think it's straightforward and simple enough that I don't see anything I would want to add to it. John, the first one you did, I mean, was it pretty simple for the people that did it?
Yeah, so basically what it was, some phone rentals over there, he wanted to put up an electronic awning that he could put the cars under while he was watching them.
Uh-huh.
So he sent me a detailed email of pictures, colors, when it was going to be in use, etc. And I responded to the email and told him, consider this to be approval of your request.
Okay.
Did he pay $25? Okay.
I don't think
the fee's in there because it still has to be approved by council. Yeah. But okay, so
that was a trick question.
Yeah, that's a trick question. All right. Well, I'll make a motion to approve as presented, with the addition of the $25 for minor work and the $375 as the majority motion. The application instructions. Now, this technically doesn't have to be submitted to council. This is actually our.
That's the way I would view it.
Okay.
I don't know what the staff's position is based on practice.
What was the question? Sorry.
Who approves the application format and the application instructions, HPC, which I think is their term for council? It doesn't matter.
The fee needs to be approved by council, but the form would be approved by the HPC.
I think you got to totally approve it. Because otherwise, I'm just going to write what I think it ought to be, and that's going to be the form.
Yeah. Okay, so again, the motion is to approve the application instructions subject to approval by council of the $25 minor work and $375 major work fee. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 And we'll have the fee question on council's August agenda.
Okay. Next item is continued discussion of the HPC webpage.
Do you want to look at the application before we move on? Adam?
Oh.
You looked at instructions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, the application. That's right.
That's always disapproved.
No, but that was the instructions.
I'll just point out a few things. I looked at a bunch of applications and took what I liked from and combined them into what you have here. The general information block at top captures about everything that we need to capture in terms of contact information. Also gives just a very generalized bullet check off as to what we're talking about. The next block lists the description of the proposed project. The example shows you how that block should work. On top of the second page, the regs, the Chapter 15 regulations, in the event of a major work application requiring a quasi-judicial hearing, Chapter 12, thanks to 160D, specifies the notice required for a quasi-judicial hearing, and that notice goes to all the properties that abut the subject property, including those directly across the right-of-way or street. It's been my practice with other jurisdictions that the owner or the applicant brings in an address, postage stamped envelopes for that notice provision. Otherwise, it's going to fall on John's department or administration. And that's what the top of page 2 provides for. Then the applicant certifies the accuracy of the application. The minor work block that follows is meant to save John's department time. He can just sign off on this instead of drafting an email or drafting a letter. And office use only. Don't even know if these are applicable to John's department, but it's there to be used. I think the fact that the fees paid, received by, and received on, I do think that's important. I do think the date of the pre-submittal conference is important because that's required, and it also gives you a landmark or a keystone, so to speak, for action on the minor work applications, which we have to turn around pretty quickly. So that's what I've got. And again, I don't usually do forms, so please feel free to comment and
I think it looks good. The only thing I would put on here is I assume there would be some additional documents like plans or drawings that they might have.
Right.
And so we probably want to have something that says please attach additional drawings or to the application.
Yeah, that one that I had originally made had a page for a description of the work and did say to attach documents,
drawings, or that sort of thing.
The need to, that information is required in the Chapter 15 regulations, and I'll just add a sentence going back to that provision or relating that provision. That's a good catch.
And then another thing that I would want to note is that when I brought that original one in June, John made the comment that he'd like to see the major and minor as different, separate, because the minor is really minor.
I
thought that kind of made sense to me at the time, even though I had incorporated the minor into the entire application. When he said that, I thought, yeah, because
John can speak for himself, but I believe this application is pretty simple, and it might say, in my opinion, you may say it is department time just to have one application, particularly since it has an approval block within it. But that's just fine.
That's pretty simple for me. We can change it as needed.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, Jim, that's the new guy. I know this form follows the other applications that we have, but I just think it's kind of weird that an applicant can come in, put an owner's name down, fill out this form, sign the form as an applicant, come before you and get a COA, and the owner may not even know about it. There's no owner signature on here.
The owner's going to get notice under the regs. 1204060 spells out the quasi-judicial regulations that we have to abide by. There's a breakout. There's a subsection that deals particularly with notice, and it expressly says that the owner is different from the applicant. The owner gets notice, so they won't be in the dark.
So the only thing we're going to add to this is a sentence to attach drawings.
And give us the rest
of
what you need to give
it. It's pretty simple.
Any other specific things, John, that got as far as that sentence, just attach pertinent documents, attach drawings, that's it?
The sentence that I'll draft will reference the part of the Chapter 15 regulations that spell out what you need. I'll just track that for you.
Oh, okay, all right.
I want everybody to know this can be edited very quickly and doesn't need approval. Probably happen as we go through.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is all new ground for all of us. It's going to change. All right. Is there a motion to approve the application for the certificate of appropriateness, subject to the recommendation that we made.
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Excellent. All right. Now, next item is the HPC webpage. Beth, I think you were going to build this, weren't you? The webpage?
We haven't built it yet. There is still going to be discussion of exactly what you want it on.
The last meeting where this was on the agenda, the understanding was you were still working on your draft and that I would edit your draft when you were done.
Okay.
And I didn't.
I failed on that one completely.
So I think I have to follow up.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a web page person. I've just looked at some other web pages, but I.
You had a good start.
I had a good start, yeah. And then Kathleen, you didn't like it, if I remember.
Oh,
I got so depressed I didn't do it again.
Oh.
So. I apologize if I was going to come in with something. So.
So did you want to table this to the next month?
Yeah, I think we should. Although I am getting worried we don't have a web page that. After approving applications and, you know, we should have something on there, you know, that people can start linking to this, so.
Well, we could probably.
Well, they can link to the instructions and the.
We could probably add under locals a link to a COA application and instructions.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Before we do a fancy web page or something like that, just make sure that there is a link. Okay, and then what I'll do is I'll make an effort to come in next time with a little bit better design and better prepared.
I should have given you a heads up. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. Then I'll make a motion to continue discussion of the HPC webpage as long as that there is some ability that people can start linking to the application and the instructions. Okay.
Yep. Second.
Okay. Any further? Yep. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next item is new business 6.1, discussion of historic landmarks designation. I believe...
I'll take that, Chairman.
Yes, okay.
The general statutes provide for two things, historic districts, which we're pretty familiar with at this point, and historic landmarks, which could be buildings, monuments, whatever. In the meeting where this was last addressed, I told you all I would come up with a bullet memo outlining the required procedures under the general statutes. Suffice it to say, to designate a historic landmark, which could be in or out of the historic district, the procedure that we would follow is very much like what we did in preparing to designate the district. And in other words, we would investigate, come up with a report, submit it to the state gives us feedback, and then it goes to council to act on. And there's a legislative hearing. And other than that legislative hearing, the owner of the proposed historic landmark has no say in the process. So that's a quick summary of how it works. The designated historic landmark is very much like what you did to establish the historic district, including submission to and feedback from the state, and the property owner has no role in that process, but for his or her comments at the hearing.
Can you do a block of houses? Can you say we have 7 or 8 houses we think are historically significant in Curry Beach under one hearing?
I'm sure you could. Again, the first step that you have to do is to propose, investigate, and submit to state your proposed historic landmarks, and I'm sure one submission, I'm sure it can all be grouped together.
Okay.
But each one will be a separate historic landmark, just like the old part of Wilmington where each house has its own plaque. Hmm. You've got the district, but you've got specific historic properties. Yeah.
Jim, my impression is I thought it was a lot easier.
Yeah.
I had a historic commercial building built in 1830. Now, it wasn't in this state. And the city had simply basically said that if anything's older than 100 years old or something like that, you could apply to get a plaque, and also it would be allowed to get some sort of a tax benefit from the state and or the federal government for repairing or fixing up that particular historic thing. But it seemed to be a very, very simple process.
It may have been, but what you're reading here is verbatim out of the statute.
But let's say I'm, you know, I've got a building 100 years old. That's not, is there a mechanism just simply to apply for historic, without going through this whole process of a report and all that sort of thing, simply that because it's old enough that you can simply apply for a historic designation and get federal tax credits and things like that?
There may be a separate process and procedure for tax credits based on rehabbing or preserving historic properties, but that's not what, that's separate and apart from the legal concept of designating a historic landmark, and there's nothing else in the general. That's a federal program, I believe. It could be a state program if those credits are still. I'm trying to remember if there's something in 160D. But bottom line is, what you're talking about may be possible. I remember things about that, but that is legally separate and distinct from designating a historic landmark.
Yeah,
you might be applying for rehab credit, tax credits, but that's different than designating that structure as a historic landmark. Maybe some of the terminology is the same, but it's apples and oranges.
Because I thought our interest was saying that, okay, outside the historic district, if somebody had a cottage, let's say, that was old, and they wanted to come and designate that, that they would make the initial overture.
Again,
that's kind of what we're looking at, rather than us making the initial overture saying that that's a historic property.
There's nothing in the statutes at all providing for that if you're designating a structure as a historic.
So it has to really be motivated from the town to say that that's a historic property versus the owner coming to us saying, can I be designated a historic property?
Based on the statutes, there's very little difference between designating a landmark and designating a district.
Okay.
Well, for example, we've already gone through the town to check for the number of cottages or homes that used to be in the military base during the Second World War. There's 43 of them. And does this obligate the owners or stop the owners from making any changes that they want?
If it's designated, yes.
Well, if once you're designated, that structure then falls under the same COA requirements that govern the district, even if that structure is not in the district, they still got to come in and play by those rules.
Let's go back to what the original thing was. I think I said it was like it was all right in front of me every time I walked, but I never saw it when we were talking about this. You had the Red Snapper, the Curry Cottage. What's the other ones there on Atlantic? Those are iconic 1940, 1950 structures. And then here we did all this stuff with the business district, but as far as protecting the history and culture, history of the thing, those are the buildings that we thought, well, how can we look at protecting those so somebody doesn't come down, buy two of those and build a complex? But it changes the character of the town. And originally, I guess, which it can't be possible, I thought the town would just be able to ask them, said, hey, would you like to be designated? But it sounds like now you got to go through the same thing. Another thing, I did talk to Arlen, our head accountant, and he said there was a tax break that the county offers. And I think if we want to go further, we need to bring him in to get the details. It's a 50% deferred tax.
And again, there used to be, I don't know if they still are, and I don't recall whether it's state or federal, but there used to be, and there still may be, programs to claim tax credits.
No, that's in addition, yes.
Yeah, and I tend to think there are federal IRS programs.
Well, this I was asking just what the town or county or state would do, and he said New Hanover County had a program. And like I said, he needs to come in if we want to talk to him further on the details. but it was the deferred tax 50%, and at any time that the building lost its designation, the tax was payable for 3 years back, if I got it right.
So well, there's a difference. You may want to hear from them, because when you say if it lost its designation, it still begs the question of whether that designation comes about as the result of the process that I've outlined.
Yeah.
And I'll be glad, Chairman, to chase the rabbit of those tax credits down to see if those programs still exist and to see if that, if they do, if they align more closely with what your thought process is.
You know, I would think that there's two groups of people that might be able to help us kind of explain some of this. One would be the Federal Point Historic group, and the other would be the state. That the folks that we dealt with, because they deal intimately with landmarks and all that sort of thing. In fact, it was hard to get them to think about districts.
You've got a good relationship.
Yeah, I've got a good relationship. I might suggest that we table this item until our next meeting. We invite the Federal Point Historic Group here to see if they might contribute to something, and at the same time, see if I can contact the state and see if they have any additional information.
Do you want to see if Arlen can come also?
Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, this isn't really critical to the district that we're talking about, but it is something that might be of interest, because I think the whole idea of having people come to us with a historic property and say, I would like to preserve it, is certainly a nice thing to have. I would hate to have us force a designation of historic properties on people that aren't within the historic district.
They plaque
at 50 and 100 years.
Buildings in Carolina Beach, because of a self-designation that they make, that this is a historic building. It doesn't go to the state.
No, that's self for the city, for the individual house.
For the individual house.
But the city makes it. The town of Carolina Beach makes it.
No.
The person who owns it.
No, the History Center.
So the Federal Point.
I'm on the board.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that sounds like what you're looking for, right, Ken?
Yeah.
But that doesn't.
Well, that's what I'm looking for. I'm just saying that's what's the appetite for the council, Joseph, on this, you think?
I haven't discussed it with them.
Okay.
But while we're on the topic,
pardon?
I'm sure there'll be one pushback.
While I was listening to you, Ken, and describing about these cottages there, a thought came to mind. I don't know if anyone wants to entertain this thought, but we designated the Historic Preservation District. What about adding Atlantic Avenue, the boardwalk?
We actually started that, and the council was not in favor of expanding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the council was very clear. We had some options, and the council came back and said they wanted this only be applicable to the B1 district. That was the council's mandate on this discussion.
Now, do you think that still would Atlantic Avenue with the historical properties there, they would reconsider it or never, don't know? Okay.
Well, let me talk to the state and see if there's a kind of a separate issue that we might be missing regarding individual properties, where if a property owner wanted to come and kind of protect their property for the future, even after they're gone, basically, that is there a designation? Because it sounds like the Federal Point is really only a plaque offering type of thing. There's no legal.
No,
nothing legal associated with
that. I'll get their rules and regs and get them here.
Council, what would it, if we, let's say if it came down to expand a district, is that a huge undertaking, like starting from ground zero, or the, just curious.
At the end of the process, it would be nothing more than a text amendment to chapter 15, what I don't know off the top of my head is whether amending the adding additional territory, I'm wondering if you have to jump through all those hoops again. I can tell you in just a second.
Nothing's easy.
I think you have to go through the process again because.
Yeah, okay. That's really crazy, my son.
Okay, I would move that we table this item until our next meeting. In the meantime, I'll try to contact the state and see if they have some insight onto the issue. And that, what would be the best way to invite? Would you represent the preservation group of Fort Fisher?
I'll give that honor to somebody else.
Okay. Would you like to invite somebody to our next meeting then?
And I'll call Arlen.
And call Arlen, okay. So there's a motion to table this item. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Next item is discussion of HPC members filling planning and zoning vacancy. Before we talk about this, we were going to have a discussion about the membership and whether it was a good idea having somebody from the B1 as a requirement. And I thought we were going to talk about this, but it turns out the council went ahead and kind of jumped on this, and they went ahead and thought it was a good idea, and right now I believe it's going to public hearing, isn't it?
Correct.
So we're out of that loop right now. So it's going to public hearing to take that requirement off, and if they vote on it in the next council meeting, then that will no longer be a requirement. So with that, let me turn it over to Kathleen.
All right. So as we all know, it's not been easy to fill these vacancies on the Historic Preservation Commission. We have four that we have to fill, and we've gotten two applications. Thank you. So I suggested that I would reach out to the candidates, the applicants that came for planning and zoning the last time we had a vacancy for the alternate position. And that was Paul Fagan and Byron Ashbridge. And Paul said that he was not interested, but Byron, he said he does want to get involved, but historic preservation was, it just didn't appeal to him. And then I was explaining to him that, well, to be on planning and zoning, you're also going to have to be on historic preservation also. And then in the course of the conversation, it occurred to me, since the members of Historic Preservation Commission, since all the members of Planning and Zoning are members of Historic Preservation Commission, would it not be a good idea to give the opportunity for when there's a P&Z opening, to give that opportunity to somebody who has been serving on the historic, one of those, you know, one of the two regular members of the Historic Preservation Commission, to give that opportunity to them.
So
not necessarily to make it a requirement, but to give them that.
But you do away with the alternate then?
No, the alternates would still be there, and the alternates would move up to the regular position.
So that person, okay.
So then I was just thinking, and I'm just thinking and throwing this out here to you guys, that maybe it could be a good incentive to get people who would not otherwise want to serve on the Historic Preservation Commission, thinking that they don't meet very often, kind of board of adjustment, you know, it's not a very active thing, so I'd rather wait. That might be a good incentive to get people onto Historic Preservation Commission thinking that, or knowing that that would give them the opportunity to be the next available for planning and zoning when there's an opening. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. If you have any questions to ask, but that's what I was thinking. And if so, I think Byron Ashbridge would be interested in the Historic Preservation Commission position.
You know, one other option I was thinking about is we have an alternate member to P&Z. Maybe we should have that person be a member of the Historic Preservation. We're all members, so why not the alternate member being a member?
Well, there's an idea, too.
You know, that fills up one of the positions right there. So,
but then another one will just open up.
Then that, but that his HPC position would move onto planning and zoning, opening that another regular position on each. It would just be a like a feeder, I guess we could call it.
Yeah. So basically, the P&Z. If I was thinking the P&Z, and then the alternate P&Z would be members of the Historic Preservation Committee, and if somebody leaves, the alternate becomes a P&Z member, but still a member of, and then the new alternate would also be a new member of the HPC then.
The new alternate on P&Z would be
a member,
one of the regular HPC
members. One of the regular members of the HPC, so.
Maintain the alternate here to move up to
right.
Planning and zoning.
Planning and zoning. And then the new alternate to planning and zoning would become a regular member. Well, actually, they would probably become an alternate member of the HPC because the alternate members technically then would become the regular member of HPC.
So that means that the only avenue to get up here is through the historic.
That's what Catherine would do.
I'm thinking. I don't know. Like I said, it's just my original motivation in all of this was we want to complete the Historic Preservation Commission board. And we're not getting a lot of interest, but I think there is more interest being on planning and zoning. And so that's an established commission now. HPC is established. And all planning and zoning members must be HPC members anyway. So to bring them through the Historic Preservation Commission gives them the experience.
You still have to have, if somebody wants to apply for that isn't on, they still have to be given the opportunity to apply.
Right. I would guess, so, in all fairness.
I would still have to advertise it.
Yes.
And you could interview that person.
Yes, in all fairness, right.
And make it fair to the public.
When Kathleen and I were talking about that, I personally think HPC and planning and zoning are legally separate sort of things. And I think that when a position opens up on P&Z and somebody from the HPC who is not already part of the P&Z wants to apply, I think that would kind of be a positive resume item, you know, but I'd hate to have them linked together. I personally don't have a problem with requiring our alternate P&Z member to be a regular member of the HPC.
Yeah. I like that.
You know, I think that's a good idea, but I would hate to require an HPC member that you have to be an HPC member before you can become P&Z. I think it's a good resume item, but I'd hate to link them together.
Okay, like I said, my thought was to incentivize people to want to join the Historic Preservation Commission because we're running dry. You know, we're doing everything we can and we're not getting enough interest.
Right.
So that was just one thought that I had to help the process.
Is there any?
Do we have to do anything to make the to make that official?
No, I'm going to make a few comments.
Sure, okay. Absolutely.
We've wrestled with this for a number of months. Number one, in staff's opinion, seven people is too large a board for a small town that has very few HPC or COA matters, presumably. The problem is if you drop down to six, that's no good because you can deadlock, you know, because you have an even number. The real concern I've got is right now we're on the agenda to go back and change to drop the B1 ownership requirement. But each month we meet, we get deeper and deeper into the weeds here, should we, for example, first it's under the regs, HPC equals PZC plus 2, one having V1 ownership. Now it's gone from HPC equals PZC plus 2 without the ownership. Now you're talking about HPC equals PZC plus the PZC. It's all over the place. It'd be a lot better for everyone if we can agree on a very simple game plan that we don't have to revisit this every month. Because frankly, it's getting very confusing for staff.
I would agree, but we didn't set the requirements. That was council's decision to set the requirements for seven people.
Recommendation from staff.
I don't think the HPC made any recommendation about this.
It's my understanding it's seven full members and two alternates. Your board is nine members.
Right, right. That decision, I believe, came out of the council.
It came from council,
not us.
Recommendation from staff.
Okay. But not from the HPC.
Not from y'all.
Okay.
Good.
All right. So.
Why don't we do HPC equals PZC plus one alternate?
You have to bring that up with council, not us, because that wasn't our.
Yeah,
but what's your view on it? It's
yes.
Simplified.
We have to have two HPC because we can't do that
alone. I don't have a problem with seven. I do. I don't think we need alternate members for the HPC. I don't think we need alternate members.
And if we do the alternate, then we only need one.
The reason we have alternate.
No, I understand the reason.
The alternate member policy for HPC was recently amended so that the alternates, unlike PCC, can fill in not just for a vacant position, but for an absence. And that's because you want as big a board as you can have for the quasi-judicial, particularly when you're dealing with a variance which requires a 4/5 majority of the number of seats.
Board of Adjustment is only five members.
I don't remember.
Right?
It's five.
Yeah.
Well, it's five members, right.
But we had alternates.
Yeah, but this.
All right, just go with HPC equals PCC like you've been for the past 2 years.
Well, that was presented to council and they did not want to do that.
No.
Okay, so.
So we got to go back. Okay.
So my suggestion is let's go ahead and keep it the way it is right now, you know, without trying to just see how it goes. And we have seven members and not change anything. And let's try to fill our seven members.
And we have an alternate.
And then if it doesn't work, I mean. And
the only
and,
thing I would point out is I think we've been trying to fill seven members for 3 or 4 months.
But we just filled one.
Well, we have. We have
two. Yeah, I was going to say, the gentleman's way to interview him, he goes like, well, what the hell? Just cut my job out.
Yeah, so I think let's go ahead and stick with seven right now, just because that's been approved. That was council's recommendation. And I mean, we could debate all day whether we should have five, seven, and all that sort of thing. But I think that's, if council wants to change it, they can change it. So.
Well, the only thing that's on council's agenda, unless PZC recommends us bringing something else to them on this matter, is to drop the V1 ownership.
Right. And my feeling is that I would, again, I'm only one person, but I don't think we should come up with a recommendation right now, other than the one that's already on the agenda for council. But that's just my opinion. So do we want to have any further discussions on this?
Just to clarify. Are we going to have the alternate as one of the alternate commission member as one of the HP members?
I personally think it's a good idea, but in order to not have more confusion, I think let's just stay with the seven. And
well, that would be one of the seven.
Well,
I mean, with the interview, we're done. Leave it.
he's going to be at the meetings.
Well, we got two. We got two interviews, don't we?
Well,
Gary emailed me and he apologized, but he's no longer interested.
So okay, then I will change my. Then I will change my recommendation. Then I believe that the alternate should be a member.
Member.
I think the alternate should be a member of the HPC. So.
The alternate agrees. So.
And do we just appoint this guy?
So, I'm sorry, is the board going to, is the commission going to reach a consensus on that matter?
Yes. There's a good possibility. I will make the motion that the alternate member to P&Z becomes a regular member of the HPC.
Second.
And town council, just to clarify, has to approve
it. Has to approve it, yes.
Right.
Is further discussion on that? All in favor of that recommendation to town council, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, very good. So now we have six members.
And then as long as we're going through all this so we don't have to like go back again every month, would now be the time for me to make a motion that we ask council to remove the two alternate positions
sure.
from HPC? And then we can get it all done in one fell swoop.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know if it's appropriate.
No, it is appropriate.
Okay, well, then I'll make that motion.
And I'll second that. Any further discussions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye. Can somebody regurgitate that?
Okay, that...
We eliminated the two alternates.
Eliminate the two alternates, and the alternate to P&Z becomes a regular member of the HPC, which leaves really only one at-large.
It's going to take a while for all this to play out because I think there's going to be both rules of procedure amendments and zoning regulations.
But I think that keeps it a lot simpler from what it was. And I don't think council will have any problem with that. So, okay.
Chairman, can we go back to the historic landmarks for a minute?
Okay.
Sure. Oh,
sorry. I just want to read you a couple of things. We have the pulled up from NCDNCR, I guess that's, I forget what NCDNCR is, cultural resources. They make the, they confirm my point, that there's two ways of designating a historic property. One is through the process that I described, and they confirmed everything that my memo set forth, that it's very similar to a historic district. Landowner doesn't have a role. State gives you feedback. And once they're designated, then they're subject to the COA requirements that all the properties in the district are. But the other one is, and again, we may learn other things when we talk to these other people, but I just wanted you to be aware. The other one is the National Register, which is completely different. Although it is administered by the state, oddly enough, the National Register of Historic Properties or Historic Places is a federal program that is administered by the state. And they... nominations of properties to the National Register are prepared and reviewed at the local state levels, but the final decision is made by the National Park Service. And the one thing that I wanted to mention in comparing the two, the National Register is created by the National Historic Preservation Act to recognize and protect properties of historic and cultural significance that warrant consideration in various undertakings, such as infrastructure projects, and to provide incentives for local and private preservation initiatives. The for a private owner, the chief practical benefit of a National Register listing is eligibility for 20% federal investment tax credit that can be claimed against the cost of a certified rehab of an income-producing historic building. So that is a different avenue. It's federal. Seems like it's not as involved as doing it under the general statutes, but it's a completely different animal designed for tax credits for certified rehab of income-producing historic structures. Just something to
look at. I think that's what my property was under there, the way you described it. So, okay, very good. And I'll go ahead and confirm that when I call the state. All right, next item is interview of the following applicants.
And Gary's out.
So Gary is out, so.
Welcome, Charles.
Yes.
Okay. So after hearing the last hour, are you sure you'd want to do this?
I'm not sure.
Right. Well, you would say we got to do it formally, so let's go ahead and give us your name, address, and maybe just a little prelude as to why you're interested in the Historic Preservation Commission.
All right, I'm Charles McKinnon, and I'm a Curie Beach native. I currently live at 941 General Wyden Boulevard. I grew up on 5th and G Avenue. It's now an orange house. I'm not sure if you're familiar. My grandfather was, at one point, one grandfather was the mayor here in Curie Beach, Charles Smith, and my other grandfather was the police chief, Howard Wilkie. This is back in the 70s. Charles owned Smitty's restaurant, also owned what's now Jack Michaels and also Ocean View. Also owned Big Daddy's, but it was a pup of course when he had it. Am I missing one?
Sounds like you're historic.
Sorry to feel that way. But yeah, that's pretty much why I want to be on the committee.
All right. Questions?
I want to ask you, what took you so long?
I had been living in Raleigh for a while and working in Raleigh. So I bought a house. On General Whiting, and not this past December, but the December before that, and was remodeling and still working in Raleigh. I just recently resigned the position there, and now here full time with my son. He's got a 13-year-old son.
Since you're a long time, what's your, we've been talking about, the business district, but then it also leaves out the 42 World War II type cottages and the cottages along the Atlantic. I mean, as a longtime resident here, I know Joseph would speak of it too, that you see those as something we should work to kind of preserve.
Definitely.
Okay.
And certainly not get rid of in favor of large hotels and that sort of building. Even the house that my mother and my brother and his family currently live in was the house that my grandfather built in the 50s, which is on North 3rd Avenue. But it's, that's a historic building to me. Anything that's that day or older, I think we, as a community, need to take an interest in preserving. And
Let me kind of ask a philosophical question then, because this is always a discussion that council has, members of the council. You've got the issue of property rights, where if somebody owns a piece of property, they should be able to develop it to the best of their, within zoning and all that sort of thing. On the other hand, you have the historical preservation process, which tries to preserve things the way they are in history. How do you feel about that tension as a property owner now?
I was thinking about that, sitting over there listening to the discussion, and I'm not 100% sure. I think that the property owners should have some say as to whether or not their home is designated as historical, but at some point, do we say that some of these houses are too historical and important to the history of Curie Beach to not let, to maybe take that out? I mean, there's obviously, like you say, some tension and on both sides of that. And I think right now I'm probably on the fence. I don't know where I...
Yeah, okay. I think a lot of people are on the fence.
I don't know where the historic preservation and the property rights, like where, I'm not sure at this point, you know. Maybe as I learn more about the position and the, what the statutes say, and you know, then maybe at some point I'll be able to take a more firm position on that. But right now, I think I've got a lot to learn, and it's an interesting argument.
Okay. All right. Any further questions? Yes.
Charles, I think going into your application, I think you may have misread the question based on the way you answered, I hope. It says, when are you unable to attend meetings? And you answered, any evening after 3 p.m.
That should have been, okay. I must be on that.
I sent you here tonight, I figured that was.
That's correct, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, having your perspective in knowledge of historical knowledge of being here for such a long time is very helpful. Sometimes we may miss some things, and I think that brings value. You know, and these are not easy decisions, but you know, we try to go by what the residents of Curry Beach want to see and how they want this town to be, you know, have historical hometown. They don't want a lot of things to change. They want it to be kind of the way it's always been. And that's the residents are, you know, adamant about that. So I think that having a different opinion is, in my thoughts, is a very wise thing to do.
Well, I hope I can have both. Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying it's a different conversation.
Okay, any further discussion? All right, well, great, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, again, according to the rules, the open rules, that we have to make a recommendation in public and a discussion in public. So is there a motion to make a recommendation?
I make a motion to recommend to council that Charles McCone be brought on to the Historic Preservation Commission.
As a regular member?
As a regular member.
Okay.
The sixth member.
Yes. A second.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. As a regular member.
Okay, very good.
And I second that.
It's been motioned and second, moved and second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Excellent. Okay, and our last item, I believe, is...
one thing, real quick. Now that we have the commission, Ms. Eldridge, you wanted to go over some stuff for the Historic Preservation Committee, quasi-judicial, correct? You wanted to do some trainings, and then also we were going to bring in Council of Government to do about an hour, hour and a half training. So now that we're set, can we go ahead and schedule that going forward?
Well.
We should, although we're not set yet.
One item on that. In 2 months, you're going to have to bring somebody else on. In October, I'm up. So you may want to wait till.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to bring that up also. So when, if council does say that the alternate is now a member of HPC, we have our seven there, we have our five here with an alternate. When Ken leaves,
then the alternate.
I'm already a member of HPC, and we have a vacant HPC and a vacant alternate.
Okay. I see
so would you, if the alternate automatically becomes HPC, you only have one job to fill, which is the alternate of this, and he will fill it.
That's correct.
Both of them, yes.
It actually simplifies it.
That's the opposite of the decision of putting someone through HPC as a stepping zone to PZC, because now if somebody really wants to be on HPC, they have to apply for PZC to get there.
Right.
No, because somebody, we still have seven members on HPC, so when there's an opening there, somebody could still, and when that opens up as an alternate, the non-P&Z member could apply for the P&Z alternate position.
Which would still be on the HPC.
Yeah, yeah. So,
who's on first?
No, I actually think it's, you know, I think it's relatively simple, you know, for that. So,
to follow the councilman's reference, I do think it's important to provide that quasi-judicial training fairly soon, don't know that I'd want to wait till October.
Okay.
Because something's going to come in the door if he knows when.
Would we want to do it before our next HPC meeting? Is that, would that be the best way to do it, is do the training like at 5 o'clock on?
I think it would be before the meeting.
Just before the meeting, rather than trying to set up a whole different time.
And then once we get everything, the dust settles all around, and Ken's replacement is selected, then we can bring the council of government down.
So are you talking about a special meeting at 5 prior to HPC regular meeting at 6?
That'd be fine.
What's the September date?
The 1st.
September 1st? I don't think we need a motion for that. Would you just go ahead and set it up, or do we need to set up a...
I would need a motion if you're scheduling for a special meeting.
For a special meeting, okay. Well, I'll make a motion for a special meeting 5 o'clock prior to our September 1st HPC meeting for semi-judicial training.
Second.
Okay.
And COG will be later?
Yeah, we'll do COG after Ken is replaced.
Okay. And who is going to, before we vote on, who's going to do this training? Is it going to be Mr. Eldridge that will do this?
I'm going to provide, he knows his microphone doesn't work.
It is?
Doesn't sound like it. We can do a brief PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do a brief PowerPoint, hand out some materials, and just generally discuss some key concepts. I've done a lot of training, and I've done a lot of quasi-judicial. We'll have a good discussion.
Okay. All right, there's motion and it's been seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, very good. Next item is...
can we get some of the background of Mr. McGone, of everything we've gone through with this in the past year, well over a year? Of course, you can listen to the meeting minutes.
There's the recording.
The recordings, and get them... the paperwork for the HPC and everything, the hard copy of that, or email to you. Because we will probably not meet a great deal unless something comes in front of the county the commission. Because there's a lot of background. If you're bored, you're going to have a lot of reading to get there. So,
we also have recordings of several meetings that I think would be useful to listen to. All right, last item is to adjourn. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes, sir.
Okay, second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, take about a 3-minute break and then start being...